okay. Good evening, good night, good morning, good afternoon, wherever and whenever you end up watching this. So thanks for joining me again today. I actually have a really interesting guest here. Someone, I have Raul Massenke.
Yes.
Yes. So Raul is the founder of Elias Wicked Ales, which is another thing I've had to practice today because for some reason I had it in my head. I kept saying to myself, Elias Wild Ales, and it's not. It's Wicked Ales. Yes. From Manila. Now, Raul has, I think, an incredibly interesting story behind all of this and an incredible journey behind the whole thing. So, Raul, thanks first for taking the time to join me. I suppose first, I should say, I mean, is it an electronic engineer, software engineer?
Yes. Brian, first of all, thank you for having me here and for this opportunity to share our story.
Okay.
Yes. Prior to becoming an entrepreneur, I worked as a product engineer and a quality engineer in a semiconductor company for several years. I am currently working for Intel.
Okay.
And just to mention, I frequently meet with my Irish counterparts there.
Okay. They're still pretty big over here.
Yeah. So, my interest in craft beer began while I was living in Singapore and grew when I became a home brewer when I moved here in the US. I was eager to introduce my fellow countrymen to the unique flavors of craft beer, which different from the mass-produced offerings of traditional large breweries.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, out of this, excuse me, I've got a little bit of a cough, so I'll try and restrain it when I can. You developed an interest in the beer. And then, am I right, you're the first beer sommelier in the Philippines? So you went
Yeah, so I tried to learn as much as I could with all the available resources here in the U.S. So when I moved here, that was 2013, I studied brewing science at UC Davis.
Okay.
I attended brewing courses at Micromatic and American Brewers Guild, even took some distillation courses, and I have obtained my BJCP and Certified Cicerone certifications. I've been brewing for a decade now. I started as a home brewer, and I continue to learn by actively participating in conferences both in the US and in Asia.
Okay,
I really got into it.
Yeah, it sounds like, to be honest, an awful lot of the people I talk to, I don't know what the link is, but there are a lot of people in engineering backgrounds who are very interested in brewing. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there's a huge number.
Yes, actually, my inspiration was with Ken Grossman. He's the founder of Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, and he's an engineer and made his own brewing equipment. And until now, I look up to that brand. It's run by an engineer, I guess. And same with my journey, I guess. Hopefully, we'll do the same thing in the Philippines.
So. Okay. Yeah. So let's get to that. I mean. Okay, so you were in the U.S., you were studying all of this, you were home brewing. Where did it suddenly become a step for, I don't know, from what it sounds like, you were living in the U.S. for like nearly 10 years. So where was there always a desire to get home? Was there a desire to open a brewery specifically at home? Or it's a big step is what I guess I'm coming to like.
Yeah. First of all, maybe I can introduce our brand. So we are Elias Wicked Ales and Spirits. We are a microbrewery based in Metro Manila, Philippines. We opened our facility in 2018, initially brewing in a 10-gallon home brewing equipment. So I quit my job, moved back to the Philippines 2018. I brought my home brewing kit with the plan of also expanding. Currently, we have a 5-barrel brew house with 10-barrel fermenters and a 2-barrel pilot system. So from the 10-gallon moving to 2-barrel system, and now we have the 10-barrel system. And also, it's complete with the full kitchen and a 30-tap draft system. Actually, earlier this year, we opened our second location on the south side of Metro Manila, which can also accommodate 100 to 150 people with a larger kitchen and the same number of taps. Actually, the decision happened when I was homebrewing, started as a homebrewer, and you know, being active with the homebrewing scene too, with the homebrew clubs. I've submitted a lot of beers in competition. You know, I get, you know, some recognitions on that, and I decided maybe I can do something like this back home. So in 2018, I returned to the Philippines and established the brand. As I mentioned, inspired by the brewing scene here in the US, actually.
Right. Yeah, so, but I mean, I guess, you know, like you said, it's a huge step to give up your job on a completely different continent. Move up. Was there a huge urge to move home that drove this? I guess, why didn't you try and open it in the US where you were already based?
That's a good question. Actually, I thought of that too. I was homebrewing with two of my colleagues, homebrewers as well. And during that time, I was in Manassas, Virginia. That was where I was working. And we thought of like, hey, why don't we open a brewery together? Actually, the two of them ended up opening their own brewery because at that time, I moved back to the Philippines. During that time, I was thinking, if I remember correctly, there were already 6,000 breweries back then. That was 2018 here in the U.S.,
yeah.
And when I try to analyze the market in the Philippines, you know, I'm opening a brewery and I'm one of the top five or top 10 first breweries there, right? So it's like, oh, maybe I should do that. And I was, same idea that I would like to produce some of our products that I'm making here back home, and so that my countrymen will be able to try them. So that triggered the decision to go.
Okay, so it was a mix of different things.
I believe it's more on the opportunities. Yeah,
right. Just pure kind of take the chance where it is.
Yes, that's right. But it comes with a lot of challenges too, of course.
So. Yeah, because I mean that's the thing. Like you said, there's 6,000 breweries in the U.S., but it's a big country, and also it's established then, so you don't have to persuade people to try new beers, whereas.
Yeah,
kind of the opportunity is wide open in the Philippines, but you have to do an awful lot of work.
I remember when we started. I have so many. Even now, we're still dealing with all these challenges, but it's growing. I can say. Right.
And what was the scene like in the Philippines then? So there was, like you said, about three or four craft breweries, and the rest was just a big generic macro. Was it?
Yeah, that's true. So the craft beer industry in the Philippines is still in its early stages, but it is growing steadily. In the recent years, there has been a significant increase in the number of microbreweries and brew pubs throughout the country, with new breweries popping up in major cities. When we started 2018, probably were maybe 10 to 20, maybe 10 brands that are licensed. We have a lot of home brewers also. In the Philippines, but the commercial ones maybe below 10. Right now, we are like maybe 60 craft breweries in the country. The craft brewery in the industry in the Philippines still relatively small compared to the other countries, but I can say it's growing and there is a potential for further development and innovation in the coming years. So,
yeah. So when you started, I mean, did you do all the brewing yourself?
Yes, I actually hired... I hired my first employee. So I have one, which is more on doing the cellaring and cleaning, and the two of us were working together. And the first business plan was to, my sister-in-law owns a restaurant, and the initial business plan was to make some beers that we will be serving at her restaurant. And eventually my sister-in-law decided to do something else, and I ended up getting the whole place. Okay. So that's where we started to expand our volume. We brought in some equipment, and also there was a brewery that was not making money in the Philippines. Sorry, I don't want to say not making money, but it was up for sale. The brewery was up for sale, and I took that leap of faith to just purchase that equipment and try to expand my production. So
I guess because what we'll get around to in a minute is, I mean, you're doing this now, you're back in the States at the moment, and you're still trying to manage this, which we'll get to in a minute, because it's a whole story and difficulty in itself. I can't, the challenge in that is amazing. But if there was a home brewing awareness, but not very much a commercial brewing. So were you bringing in, I guess what I'm trying to avoid one thing until we get to it, but I'm also can't see how I can avoid it. So like, you know, let's get to today. You have two tap rooms, the brewery. Both tap rooms have restaurants. There's brewing going on every day, but you're not in the Philippines anymore. You're back in America. So where did you find the brewers? Did you have to, what was it part of the thing to train them up? Were they already very qualified home brewers? How did that work, or what effort did it take?
Yeah, that's a good question. We don't have brewing school back home. And the challenge is, of course, getting the education, the resources, right? And when I opened my brewery, I had this first employee. And then when I took there was a brewery for sale, I took those equipments, and also I hired some of the brewers. Although that brewery is only doing an extract brewing, it's a different model, you know. So I had to train the staff from ground up. So I was in the Philippines from 2018, and I moved back to the US around 2020. So it was a 2 year of, you know, really brewing and training the team. And I moved to the US because of pandemic too. So it's a personal decision to, hey, I want to go back to the US. And since then, my team has been brewing the beers. I've been going back. But when I was there, we were able to really establish the system. Okay. I feel like that really helped a lot. I am quality engineer by profession. And I think also engineering with a lot of, experience with setting up systems. So when I was there, we tried to do these things, you know, how we are collecting the data from a brew, a batch. So, you know, the pH, gravity, and all those things. And, you know, they're plugging it in a system, and we kind of review it in a day-to-day basis. Also, that's only the part of the brewing. There's also a kitchen side of it. There's also the marketing distribution. I can say that I had a very, very, I was really lucky that I was able to find these people that are helping me. And one of the things that I learned in this journey as an entrepreneur is you should not be doing everything on your, all these things, just you doing everything. You really need to learn how to allocate or delegate a task to those people that can do better than what you can do. So I've been getting a lot of consultants, which is good. I have a consultant for my brewing. I have a consultant for my kitchen. I have a consultant for my marketing. I have an accounting. I have, you know, so I think they are, you know, doing and really helping the brand. So,
right. And how difficult was that? Did you find starting off to delegate? Was it a difficult?
Yes, I think especially, you know, when you're trying to delegate tasks means you have to hire people, and hiring people means that you need to have a good, you know, profit first, and, you know, you should be profitable. So there were a lot of challenges as well, but I believe we're really lucky. You know, we're really focusing on the product, also the quality of our beers, and we got these recognitions. You know, just us submitting beers in, you know, competitions in Asia, and it also helps us to, you know, get the brand out there for us to keep our expenses and, you know, everything sustainable, right? So
So we'll get onto the beers in a minute, because you like you said, you've won a ton of awards, and you kind of came from effectively nowhere in 2 years to start, you know, winning a ton of stuff, and with some very interesting beers. But just staying on the team, so what's your day-to-day, particularly with the beers themselves, like how do you manage, do the team come up with new beer ideas? Do they run it by you? Do they have autonomy to just try stuff themselves? Or
Yes, so that's a good question. Right now, we're I work on the recipes, and I pass it to my brewer. I have a right now I have I think three brewers, and one logistics that's helping in the brewery. So I pass it to my head brewer, and we talk about it. You know, what ingredients and how we will do the brewing, and I think once you have that, follow that specific procedure, and you know we are hitting target, and as we control or monitor the fermentation and all other aspects of the brewing, so we kind of adjust it, and we talk if there are issues and anything that we need to do, and also the quality control will be my brewer can taste, and other, you know, kitchen team and other staff. We try to train our staff to doing, you know, tasting as well. And I have a lot of friends that are into craft beer, so I'm really lucky that I met them. We have a lot of bloggers, brewers, and being connected with them, and you know, getting to asking them, hey, can you help us with this? We send them some bottles, and they try to test it, and you know, I get a good feeling on what they get. Yeah, it's very challenging. I can't imagine. I didn't know that I would be running the brewery from here, but I believe that it's also helping me to learn a lot here in the US and giving it back there in the Philippines. So that's really helpful.
Right. And like I said, you opened in 2018, you ran into a pandemic. So you were just getting started, getting over your kind of initial by yourself thing. And then you hit a pandemic. You went back to the States. So like that, Was it closed down for a while when you were back?
Yes. So I'm not sure, Brian, if you've heard, but in the Philippines, we had the liquor ban, which means that we cannot sell both in the tap room and we cannot sell outside the tap room. Okay. So we really didn't have a choice because we are alcohol, centric business, right? So we had to close the tap room, and of course, but still trying to keep my staff. From time to time, they try to, you know, open the market and, hey, you can sell at during this time, like 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. So we try to get that. And, but it was really hard for us. So I'm really happy that, we recovered, after the pandemic. But during that time, we were also, that was an opportunity for us to train our staff. So we were there and training our staff. I have a small pot still that I did a little bit of, you know, making some alcohol, and we even ended up doing some of those things. And I think, but during that time, we were able to really focus on the quality of our beers and what do we really want to do with the brand, you know? Yeah. And it was a tough times for us. We had a 5-barrel system that we ordered before pandemic, and it got stuck in China. So, after the pandemic, we brought it in, and we were able to install it. So,
you're shut down. You decide to go back. It's all, but like I said, you kind of had a year or two, then you had a shutdown, and you've really been open for what now, about another 3 years?
Yes, that's correct. So, 3 years when we opened.
Right. And in two of those, you've won, what is it? Let me get the title right. At the Asia Beer Awards, you've won the title of Best Philippines Brewery two of those years.
Yes, we were lucky that we got that recognition. We had a beer that won Best Beer in Asia last year. So I'd like to mention that. We had a Saison. We call it Summer Breeze Saison. And we were really happy that we were surprised that one of our beers got it. For us, our brewery, everything has been challenging in the Philippines, and I can mention that too. You know, we face several challenges. The craft beer market remains a niche dominated by major brands, making it crucial for us to carve out a space and differentiate ourselves. We encounter constraints in sourcing and cost of ingredients. Which can impact the consistency and quality of our brews. The hot climate poses a challenge as it strains our chillers, contributes to high electricity costs, adding operational concerns, and we have to ensure the reliable cold chain from our brewery to the consumer because of the climate, right? So the freshness, you know, a lot of things are very challenging. But I think what really differentiate us as a brand is our really focus on quality. I think that's something that even we can have a small team, small brewery, but if we really focus well on our quality of our beers, and we take those beers in a competition, and you know, it's a fair judging competition, right? No one knows, you know, if it's a big brand or small brand. And I think that's really what we've been doing in the last couple of years.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes there's a tension there with the quality, because maybe not in quality, sorry, not in quality, but in consistency. Like you as a small brewer get ingredients that differ from time to time, but your customer still expects a consistent beer. And some breweries try to make it very consistent, but others lean into this, like it's a different batch, it's a different year, so appreciate that. So it sounds like you go more with the consistency line.
Yeah, that's true. Even consistency is challenging for us because of the sourcing of our ingredients and even the equipment. You know, as a small brand, a small brewery, I have all the equipment of a big brand's controlling process controls and stuff like that. I think for us, just focusing on the attention, maybe making sure that everything is documented, knowing our numbers in the brew house, and that's what we can do. You know, we can make the good work, and still the yeast makes the beer. So we just want to make sure that we make sure that the yeast is in a good environment to make a consistent beer. So that's where we're coming from.
And I was going to ask you what's your best seller, but also what's your range of beers? Like you seem to be quite inventive and have quite a range of beers.
Yes. So in the Philippines, we can brew any fermented beverages. I mentioned that because here in the US, there are laws. You cannot just do a cider if you're a brewery. You can do cider. You can do a craft beer and a seltzer, but there's another license for making a cider. But in the Philippines, we don't have those laws. And right now, we're making ciders, craft beers, mead, and hard seltzers. So the idea of making all these other beverages is because of our resource constraints, honestly. If you're doing craft beers, then you're always... We don't have malted barley in the Philippines. We don't have hops. And we definitely don't have a yeast company, too. So everything is just imported.
Okay.
So for us, it also makes sense to look for other fermentables, which aligns to our vision of being a local brand. So we have a lot of honey, which helpful for us for the mead. We have a lot of sugar. hard seltzers, we do that. And of course, we have a lot of flavor fruits. And, you know, combining hard seltzers, ciders, we don't have apples, but we get them in bulk. So, but our fruits are really our strength in Asia. And we have all these diverse fruits, tropical fruits, really, really flavorful fruits that we can incorporate to our beverages. So that's why we have been producing. We try to release like at least one flavor a week or one every 2 weeks. And sometimes, we're trying to excite the market as well. And that's what I believe our customers are really looking forward to. Yeah, when they visit our tap room, we have 30 drops beers on tap. If you don't like beer, then you can look for other beverages that can suit your palate. So.
Right.
Really helpful.
No, it makes sense to have all that if you're allowed and if you can do it.
That's right. Yeah.
But it does seem like an extra challenge. Like you master one thing and now you've had to master another thing and then another, and then balance out which one of them you're going to do today. And
that's really true. Yeah. Although we do small batches on some of them, for those bottles that we want to, or kegs that we want to distribute to our restaurants or supply our customers. So we pick, you know, the top selling ones that we keep on producing in our 10 barrel. And then the pilot system keeps on, you know, making this experimental product. So.
And is most of your distribution, it's through the tap rooms or it's not, or it's off site?
So our distribution, we have, we do both bottles and kegs. Although I can say right now, our sales, I believe 70% of our sales are coming from the tap room, our own tap room. Yeah, and also because of just the beer itself, you know, not including the food, then I can say 70%. Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, I mean, so that's a good thing. You've got a higher margin there. You've got people. So there are people coming to find you, or at least there are. I have no idea where you're located. So is it a place where people walking by will just suddenly call in, or do you get the same customers coming back? Like, do you have a lot of repeat customers?
Yes. We have a combination of the repeat customers. We also have a lot of foreigners that are, you know, interested to try craft beers in the Philippines. And we try to target those market as well. And also our craft beer enthusiasts, those home brewers that, you know, really just want to try something new. We release new flavor, new hops. So we're trying to capture the market just really for us to be sustainable. Also, I want to mention, Brian, because our major beer brands are selling their beer at $1 per pint. So I mentioned this because our cost of production for craft beer is really high, making it difficult for us to not to price our beer that low. Our average beer price is actually $3, which is still relatively expensive in the Philippines compared to the big brands. So this pricing also hinders our ability to penetrate the market. So imagine, you're selling the beer at $3 in a grocery store, and you know you can buy the big brand in $1. So that times three difference is really, you know, it's not, it's really expensive for our customers, and some of them are prefer to get the beers in the tap room. So even if you sell it at $3, $4 in a tap room, that's still giving us. I can say compared to retail versus the tap room, because of the experience that they are getting in the tap room, and also, you know, they pair it with food and the ambience and everything, right? So they're willing to pay that price, basically,
right,
instead of just getting a bottle in the retail.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, if you're going to, like I said, if it's going to be the same, if it's a lot more expensive than what, sorry, I'll try and rephrase this. I should get my thoughts clear. So yeah, if you see two beers on a shelf, you don't know what they are. Maybe you recognize one brand. It's a third of the price of the other one. Yeah, it makes sense. Because exactly. There is no, you go home, there is no difference in your ambience, as you say. But so people are willing to pay for experiences, basically.
And that's right, yeah.
And is that like something you're trying to push through the brand, and that is an experience somehow? Are you trying to get that across through the brand itself? Or is it just by people coming in and discovering it, they link you and this nice experience? Or...
Yes, that's true. We are actually we want to give the consumers not just a good craft beer experience, but also with our food, our ambience. We have open mic nights on weekends. We have, you know, a lot of things going on. We have we try to put a lot of stuff or do a lot of things in the brewery. So for us, it's really the customer experience that matters.
Right, and so. Yeah, it's always kind of difficult to know which just comes first, the customer experience or the beer, but they are the same thing.
That's true. Yeah. So people, if they have a good experience in our tap room, and it will be a word of mouth and more customers. But also the bottles that we have, of course, if they try our bottle in a bottle shop and, hey, oh, I like this beer. And then if they do a little bit of research, oh, there's a tap room. And you know, in this place, and I would like to visit that. And also, yeah, you mentioned that because in the tap room you can taste the beer first before you commit on it, right? So we encourage like tasting first. Like, you want to try, you know, even the 30 drafts that we have, you want to try all of them, we'll be happy to give them to you for trial, but before you commit on it. So that's
yeah, and you can explain to them what is the idea behind the beer and where it comes from, or, you know, what inspired it. It is a completely different experience.
Yes, exactly.
And yeah, I mean, in a way, your taproom is your marketing, because if you're Heineken or someone or Budweiser, you spend, you're anonymous. You're in every bar, everywhere. Everyone's your competition. But so you have to spend a fortune on marketing, whereas, you know, they don't control the experience because they don't have the taproom, whereas that is your marketing. So I presume a lot of your kind of development is word of mouth, is it?
That's true. And we are very active with our social media as well. We have a really good marketing team, branding team. And yeah, everything has to, you know, do their part on making the brand really successful. So
where's it going to go? Like, it seems to be after this kind of stop-start rockiness, it's now you're opening your second tap room, so it must be getting some traction going. Where do you see it going after this? Like, are you going to move back at some point? Is that what you want to do? Or are you now discovered that you're very happy managing remotely? Or
that's a good question, Brian. Yes and yes. So my plan is, of course, I have a really big vision for Elias Picadales and Spirits, and also I have this personal goal of maybe establishing something in the US as well. And for me to be going back and forth will be the ideal situation, wherein I have something here in the US, and not just my corporate job, but also something going on like a business. I also enjoy my engineering job. That's why I moved back. And, you know, it's, I guess brewing is an engineering thing too, like, you know, yeah. Fermentation science, right? So I got into it because of that. But in the, you know, long-term vision, I envision myself and maybe two businesses, one in the Philippines and one here in the US. Maybe have a, I've met a lot of brewers here in the US actually, and you know, I've been thinking of like maybe I can work with them and maybe set up something here too. And and for the brewery in the Philippines, we're continuing to expand, not just on the tap room, but also to increase our capacity. So by this year, we're thinking of doubling our capacity by bringing some more equipment. And also maybe opening our third location in a busy area, like a busy area of the Metro Manila. So those things are, we're still working on that. But exciting times.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, this idea of opening a brewery in the US, would it be Elias Wicked Ales as well? Like, would it be your brand? Or are you thinking of it being a completely separate business altogether?
I'm actually open to any. If depends on the partner that I will be working with. If I know I would need a partner that's also, you know, very exposed in the market here, and you know, I'm open to being not even the major country, you know, stakeholders. I can be the minor stakeholders, but something going on. And it depends on him if he wants to use my brand or if he wants to open another brand. But so many depends on, I guess, what will be the opportunity for me.
Yeah.
But here in the US, there are a lot of breweries that are closing.
Yeah.
I can say that. I noticed that in the industry, the saturation. And I think there might be a lot of breweries that will be for sale in the coming years, unfortunately. But maybe looking for those opportunities as well.
Right, so it'll be the same thing as your first one, like kind of see the opportunity where it is and jump at it.
That's right, yes. And also in our brewery, we do a lot of Filipino food. So that's always been a local thing. Like, hey, we have the local flavors of our beverages and we have a Filipino food. And I think there's still a market for a Filipino, you know, food here in the US. And it's not as popular as the other Asian food, you know, Japanese, Korean, you know, Chinese. But if I can bring a really, really good chef back home to the US, then I can work on a really good menu.
Yeah. Right? Because I noticed from your website, yeah, the food, which we didn't really mention, but it does play a huge part in what you're doing. Very front and forward, you know.
That's true. Yes, I believe with the, you know, the unique selling proposition, USP. I always think of that. What will be my unique selling proposition if I open another business, right? So, I feel like, you know, not just another brewery, but maybe something different as well.
Yeah. Actually, what I didn't ask you about was the name. The name, I believe, has some Filipino reference that I, as an Irish person, would have no clue about.
Yes, so our brewery is named after the character Elias from the renowned novel Noli Me Tangere by our national hero, Jose Rizal. It is a way of honoring our Filipino heritage. The character Elias embodies rebellion and resistance against authority. And we wanted to imbue our brand with those name, with those values of challenging the status quo. So that's where we thought of the name.
And that is something everybody would know, that kind of recognize that name.
Yes, if you're a Filipino and you've read the book of our national hero, then yes, you remind, oh, that's Elias. Yeah.
Okay. And, and Wicked Ales, like, why Wicked?
Yes, you know, I read this book and it says there that wicked weed is actually, you know, they call hops as a wicked weed.
Okay. I hadn't heard
that. Yeah. So, and, you know, it's like wicked, it sticks with me, and it's like wicked ales, you know. People associate wicked as like really bad, but it can also be a big good thing, you know. I mean, there's something really, really different, you know. Wicked, hey, you're really wickedly good or something. Yeah.
No, it's a good name. Like I said, the Elias part, I'm Irish, I wouldn't, I haven't heard yes. But the wicked ales does, yeah, it fits very nicely. So it sounds like good. So, like, you have your potential plan a couple of years down the road. You have everything going, starting to motor nicely. So it sounds like you've got all your processes, being a process engineer, nicely in place. Is there anything in the short term, like any specific beers you've now got in your mind that are going to be coming out in the next 6 months or so?
Yes. So we would like to do a lot of sours. Actually, we've been doing sours since last year. We actually submitted some beers for the Asia competition with our sours and our fruits, and they did well. Some of them won awards. But I want to focus more on that sour, maybe introduce more. You know, it's still challenging for us. Even IPAs, not a lot of people like the bitterness. And the market in the Philippines is still very young. A lot of people are not used to drinking a hoppy beer or a bitter beer. And you know, imagine if you give them a sour, right? So I feel like but for us, we believe with the product, and if we feel like there will be a market for it in the, you know, in the next coming years, people will eventually understand, hey, this is different, this is really unique, this is flavorful, this is refreshing. So I want to spend more time on that, developing that product, and hoping that when they go to other countries, they kind of learn, hey, these are good beers, sours too, and go back to the Philippines and, oh, these guys are making these beers too, you know. Sometimes it helps us when it's out there in the market, like globally available. Yeah. We noticed that some of our customers, they are the well-traveled ones. They are the one that's open, you know, to trying new flavors. And you can see their expression when they see something on tap, because that's something that they've tried outside the country. And I want to do that too. And we have so many good fruits back home, so many flavorful fruits like mango, tropical pineapple, danzones. So I want to work on those ingredients as well. So sours are really perfect for incorporating those flavors.
That's the next kind of 6 to 12 months. That's what we should expect to see.
Yes, that's right. So we brought in some equipment so that we can do sours. We have this process of adding sours in, you know, a bright tank. And we were very much limited with our equipment on doing those flavors. But right now we just receive our shipment and we will be doing those.
And do you think that's going to get you? I mean, you've won Best Philippine Brewery 2 years in a row. Does that put any pressure on you for this year?
It is, yeah. Hopefully we will be doing well. So yeah, we have a good team on that one. We have a consultant, his name is Jason too. He's a brewer, very professional, and hopefully, yeah, he can help us again. And also our team, my team, we work on the recipe again. I think we have enough time to make our beers so that they will be ready by October. So the judging is every October. It's happening in Singapore. And yeah, we submit our beers there, and they announce it in the Asia Beer Championship. For this year, it will be in Singapore as well. So.
Okay. Well, listen, Raoul, I know you have, like we discussed, you have so much to do. I'll let you go. Really appreciate you taking the time, though, because, I mean, like I said, in a way, you're kind of completely unique in anybody I've spoken to because of this cross, you know, kind of in two totally different continents, kind of working away and building something. And it's a huge achievement, to be honest with you, to get to that stage after all that thing. So it's so it was great talking to you. Is there anything I should have asked you, by the way, that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, no, thank you, Brian, for having me here and for this opportunity to share our story. And I'm happy to have my team with me, and hopefully we'll meet you in, you know, in person, or
someday.
And visit us in the Philippines.
Yeah, I'll try and get there someday, but yeah, it would be nice, but I probably couldn't handle the heat, though, to be honest with you. I'm Irish, we can't handle it.
We'll have a lot of cold beers for you. Just
kidding. All right. Listen, Raoul, thanks a million for your time. Best of luck with it all. And maybe we'll see when you open your second brewery in the States.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.